Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. We're back and we're back with a bang. I'm so excited about this guest today because, well, she's an international superstar. I think she's the only artist to have 3 diamond-selling albums. She has hit after hit. She may even rival you in leopard print, Mum.
Really, darling?
Yeah. Have you not seen the video?
No, I haven't.
I'll show you. Okay. We have Shania Twain on Table Manners today.
Wow. That does impress me much.
It impresses me too. We have been long gone for a while. We've had our summer holidays. We've eaten a lot. We've thought about the menus. We are thrilled to be back. It's going to be a great season. We've got some great guests, Mum. Are you still thrilled to be in the chair with the mic cooking?
Thrilled to be in the chair. Thrilled to be in the kitchen, darling. Concocting new recipes to excite people.
How are you, Mum?
I'm okay, darling.
How are you finding the dietary requirements this season?
You know, I like a challenge, let's say. Especially, I'm really looking forward to have some more vegan guests on, darling.
Are you?
Yeah. So I'm making up new recipes all the time.
You know what? Just to open it up to our gorgeous listeners, any vegan, you know what, Lenny's kind of softened in her ways over the series towards veganism and vegetarianism, and she's decided to go with the flow and embrace it because it's really quite delicious. Vegan, vegetarian listeners, please send us your recipes on our podcast email. It's hello@tablemannerspodcast.com. We'd love to. We've never done a recipe from a listener.
Oh no, that would be good. Yeah,
because you can see whether it's going to be good or not. Really.
Yeah.
That would be nice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that would be great.
So look, I'm putting it out there for vegan and vegetarian dishes because I feel like Lenny's got meat covered. But yeah, send them in. But we want showstoppers and we don't want a load of faff. Not too easy, but not too much of a faff, but very open, all ears for new recipes. Are you going to wear that cowboy hat when she comes in?
No, I'm not, actually. You can, though.
You're not even wearing leopard print.
Darling, I didn't know to wear leopard
print. Mum, have you not seen her outfit?
Darling, you're lucky.
That don't impress me
darling,
much.
Darling, to be honest, you're lucky I'm dressed. It's been a faff this morning doing that recipe.
Yeah, so what have you cooked? Well, I mean, you've pulled out of the stocks. You've done an ottolenghi for Shania, haven't you?
Well, because she said she liked aubergine parmigiana, I saw this recipe from Ottolenghi's new book, which is an aubergine parmigiana pie. So I've made that. And then we've got some baby gem lettuce with figs, walnuts and feta.
This is in homage to, homage. Is it homage or homage?
Homage.
Homage to Honey & Co, where we went for Alex's graduation.
Yeah.
The most incredible spread. And there was this one particular delicious fig salad.
That we loved, yeah.
I think it had pistachios and goat's cheese, but we're doing walnuts and feta because
that's what I've got.
That's what she's got. So there's the crunch and the sweetness. And then you've got this really delicious aubergine parmigiana pie.
Yeah.
With this, what's the...
Cavatelli pastry on top, which is what you... It looks a bit like shredded wheat.
Yeah.
And it's what you make baklava out of. So I've made that with salad, with bread.
Well, Alice has got some dusty knuckle bread.
Fabulous. And then I've made panna cotta with sour cherry on top.
And that is inspired by?
My lovely friend, Rodi Lefteris, who makes it in my favourite Greek restaurant.
In Skopelos. But also...
I bought the sour cherries back from Skopelos.
They also do it on Limnanari Beach there.
With the sour cherry.
Yeah.
Everyone likes a sour cherry.
Mum, you know what to say.
Let's go, girls.
Can I just say, your hair is fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
The height on that, mum, you're jealous.
The width. That's what
the
I
go for.
The
width, yeah.
The width is the thing for me, not so much the height. And you look gorgeous.
Shania, how has your trip been in London so far? You've been busy.
I've been busy. This is a working trip.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really... I've got a really full schedule. But I love to come to London just to be in London.
Have you got to see any London, really? Or have you just been in studios?
Not this time. Yeah, I've just been in studios. My favorite thing to do is to ride, you know, a horse in Hyde Park. That's my favorite thing to
do. Have you done it?
I have done it.
I've never done that.
Wow. Jesse, they have fantastic stables there.
Yeah.
And you go right round.
I mean, what I really want to do, I keep telling everybody this. Ever since I've been here, I'm like dreaming about if I could just have something, little apartment or something that neighbored the stables, I would definitely move into that.
If you're rich, you could afford that.
I don't even know if they have.
They do. They have.
There is a will. There's a way. No. All the oligarchs are going now.
Yeah.
But there's a little something. Like, that would be my dream.
When did you learn to ride?
I learned to ride when I was a kid, you know, probably around 10 years old, mostly just because I was willing to clean people's stables and then they'd let me get on their horse. But I couldn't own a horse till I was... you know, in my late 20s, because it's expensive.
What was your first horse called?
My very first horse was called Dancer.
That's a good name for a horse.
The first horse that I owned. Yeah.
Now, tell me, when you were growing up, what was a really memorable dish from your childhood that your parents would serve you?
Okay, so we grew up pretty hungry.
Right. Where did you start? Where were you born?
I'm Canadian, and I grew up in the Canadian North. Fairly remote area. It's a little mining town called Timmins. Gold mining, copper, silver. And a food for us, and we have a lot of cold months. So soup's a very big thing in Canada, if you can make, you know, a good soup. But bannock, it's an Indian bread. This is one of my favorite things.
Bannock?
Bannock. It's very, very simple. It's a poor man's bread. Uh-huh. It's just flour, salt, and shortening.
What shortening?
It's like...
And baking soda.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
And you have to get it to a certain consistency, and it's just the best bread. I still love it. I still make it. I make it for my son. We're not poor anymore, but I still make.
So that was what... Did your mom or your dad make that?
We all made it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then had it with soup.
And then you eat it with soup. So that's how you fill up on the bread. Because whatever the soup is a soup. It's not necessarily going to be very nutritious or filling, but the bannock was always very filling and very easy.
So I watched your documentary, which I loved. And, you know, the image of your mum kind of taking you out in the evening to go and sing in kind of clubs, and you were quite young, and it would be like when you were going, like the others were asleep. And did you enjoy that? Was it thrilling? And did you kind of, was it, no?
Oh. I hated going into the bars to sing because I was just intimidated by the environment. It was an all obviously adult environment, lots of heavy smoking at the time.
Yeah.
Everybody was smoking, so it was just a very, very dingy atmosphere. And normally, this is just a logistic, but I couldn't go into the bars until midnight at last call, because kids are not allowed in the bars while the bar is actually
physically serving. So you were really staying up late.
Well, that's why my mom would get me out of bed, and then I'd go to bed, she'd get me up, and then we would go to the bar. And then I would sing, because, you know, I don't know what it's like here, but you can load your table up at last call. You can order 3, 4, 5 drinks.
Right.
As long as you do get it in before midnight. So people would sit there for hours after last call, and then I would sing. Now, by the time I was 11, though, I had what was called a liquor license.
How old were you when you started doing that?
8.
8?
And would it be on school night, or was it always the weekend?
Oh, often on school nights.
And your mum's waking you up in the middle of the night.
I know.
Did you get paid?
Crikey.
No, No. Unless okay, people so just wanted it, to
okay.
give me.
Okay, right.
This was just to get me exposure, to get me... I don't know what she
She's pushier than you, Mum.
She's pushier than me, definitely.
Oh, no, she was just trying to get me exposure or,
Did she recognise you had a beautiful voice?
But from the time of 3 years old, I remember very clearly my mother focusing on my voice.
Really?
Yeah.
And what were you singing? What sorts of songs?
I would sing harmony to whatever was on the radio. I would always go to the harmony.
That's amazing, because my six-year-old, I'm trying to get her into harmonizing because it's just delicious, isn't it? And she's just like, yeah, whatever, Mom. So that's amazing really? That you were already harmonizing. That's at three.
That's where I wanted to go. I wanted to just create other notes with the singer.
So you'd go and do this singing. And what was a memorable... Did they feed you in these bars?
No, I mean...
She's going in her pajamas virtually.
Practically. Oh, no. I mean, it was kind of a dingy existence, to be honest. But it got me a lot of experience.
Yeah, what did you learn from it? Do you feel like you've taken that with you along the way?
One of the things I think... Well, first of all, I learned a lot of discipline. In those bars at the time when I was a kid, it was very much audience requests, you know, audience would throw, so, you know, sing, you know, whatever song.
What sort of song?
Well, at that age, as a kid, the bars were hiring all the top 40 country bands. It was all country music. When I got into my teens, all of a sudden they were hiring rock bands. So then I switched my repertoire to rock and so on. But it was country when I was a kid.
Is country big
music
in Canada?
Very big, yeah. Oh,
I would especially have thought it was just like Texas or the
well,
South.
Because you're
of
not
America.
In the
no,
country.
I know, I'm not.
It's huge.
In Canada, though, I understand in the United
She's
States.
She's the biggest selling artist.
I know you
huge.
Are.
But you're not wrong. You're not
yeah,
wrong.
I'm not wrong, you
no,
see.
Okay, sorry.
You're not wrong. I'm going to back you up on this. Because
Thank
country
you.
Music in Canada, when I was growing up, included a lot of... what we maybe would now consider folk music. I mean, the Eagles were considered country even
oh,
in
right.
Canada. You know, okay. they would be played on country radio. You would hear Dolly Parton, and then you would hear the Eagles, and then you might hear Jim Croce or, you know, other artists that were not, that really crossed the easy listening, more pop music. So I was a little confused when I went to the States as to what their more limited version of country music
okay.
was. So, you know, I would sing Bread, you know, and part of my 100-song repertoire when I would sing songs from Bread. I would sing Bee Gees songs, Beatles, you know, more of the softer stuff like that. But, of course, you know, a lot of Dolly Parton and Glen Campbell and... all the classic Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson, all that stuff. But it was also, you know, I Fall to Pieces or even Tom Jones.
Is country big in Canada now? Does Justin Trudeau listen to country music, do you think?
I wonder. I don't know if he does. I know, you know, Canada doesn't have the same country western culture, for sure,
yeah.
as America. Because in the States, there's... It is very much, there's a lot of farming, there's a lot of horse culture, cow culture, rodeo culture. In Canada, we have a pocket of that, which is in the west, in Alberta area. But outside of that, where I'm from, there are no cowboys. You know, we have snowmobiles. You know, we have snowmobiles and lumberjacks and miners and that sort of thing.
And do you live there now in Canada?
I don't, no. I still have my family in Canada.
Yeah.
I live in Switzerland now. And of course, you know, I'm traveling the world most of the time.
Which
anyway.
Bit of Switzerland?
I live on Lake Geneva.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
So the French-speaking yes. part of Switzerland.
So Lausanne?
It's near Lausanne, yeah. yes. And that is a definite food area
good
to
food.
Enjoy.
Yeah,
oh,
come on then, tell
yes.
us about it.
So many foods that I had never experienced in Canada, you know. I mean, and don't forget, I mean, in Canada, I grew up a lot on wild meat.
What's wild meat?
Like which ones? Like
moose meat.
Oh
how
my
does that,
God.
How's that taste? Like presuming like a deer, like venison?
No, oh. Venison is more gamey. Venison tastes more evergreen.
Okay.
If I could put that in there somehow, more evergreen.
So moose is a little
frowsy.
Moose is
What's
better.
What's frowsy mean?
I don't know, a bit kind of old.
I prefer
old
moose.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a little musky moose. It's a dark, very dark.
You're not selling it to me.
No wonder she's a vegetarian.
I am a vegetarian, yes, I am. So, you know, I don't eat any of these things anymore, but I grew up eating these things. But anyway, so going to Switzerland, it's really more about, they love their mushrooms, for example. So it's easier to be vegetarian there now, you know, in Switzerland. They really pride themselves in their mushroom picking, and they're very strict about where you can walk in the forest so you don't destroy the mushrooms.
The Swiss are strict about
very
everything.
Strict. They're very, very specific about
they like rules, don't they?
They love rules.
Well,
love
a rule. It's so small that it needs organization. You know, where the cows graze is crucial because it changes the taste of the butter from that region or the cheese from that region. And the regions are little, so you might only get a very small production of a certain cheese, and the cows only eat that flora, and that's what gives that flavor.
And that's why Shania can live there, because she'll respect that, where you'd be like, fuck off. I'm fucking walking. I'm going to fucking walk.
It is hard to have the rules.
My sister-in-law has a house in Wengen, which is also gorgeous, but it's the German side. Mm-hmm. So it's near Interlaken.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Switzerland's beautiful ever. It's very, very picturesque.
Why did you choose Switzerland?
Well, the French language. Well, the French side is where I live, and I already had a base of French.
Yes. Of course, French Canadian.
It helped to have a base of French coming from Canada, and I love snow. I mean, I love the winter season. And
do you ski?
I do ski when I'm not under contract for live performing. Because
those legs are important. Yes. That body is important. And so what, you just go in a snowmobile?
You know, I do cross-country skiing. I love that. I just like walking in the snow. I like being in the snow. You know, I love the winter.
I find it quite an effort.
Going skiing?
Yes.
Like carrying the skis, walking in the boots. It is an effort.
But you like horse riding and you like living in the snow. So I feel like we're maybe not the best holiday companions.
Ah! You don't
for
like riding horses?
Après-ski we could do. I don't mind. I used to like riding a horse called Fury in Wales. That was nice. And I've kind of imagined that
just
I was in Robin Hood, Prince of
Thieves.
Did
you
I doze off?
Yeah, you dozed off on the horse.
It was relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Can I ask you something very personal?
Yes.
Is Shania your real name? Because it sounds very country and western to me. I mean, I hear Shania Twain, I think country and western, don't you?
Well, maybe that's...
Or is it just
maybe
because...
Maybe it's because she's...
Yeah,
doing
but
this
I just
role.
Think Shania just sounds...
Is it your name?
No. So my real name is Eileen. Eileen Regina, we say in Canada.
That's a good name.
Well, it's very... well, Elizabeth, you know.
Exactly.
Eileen
yeah.
Regina Twain.
Twain.
So how do we get to Shania?
Right. So I got signed by my record label and they said, you know, we'd like to change your last name. And I'm thinking, well... I'm kind of sentimental about my last name because my parents are no longer with me and I just feel like I need that something that I carry on in life and not abandon just for my profession. Mm-hmm. It just felt weird, didn't feel right. So I start searching for a first name that might flow well with Twain. And one of the dressers in Wardrobe Mistresses in a show that I was doing, her name was Shania, and I'd never heard the name before.
I've never heard it since, yeah.
And she also came from a mixed-race family, Ojibwe, and, white and Ojibwe Indian, just like mine, Ojibwe and white. And I thought, wow, we have this in common. Shania is such a beautiful name. Shania Twain actually flows really well.
Well, it just is perfect.
Yeah.
Actually. So I threw that at the label and they liked it.
Did you ask her?
I did.
And was she really up for it?
She was flattered.
I bet she was.
So do people always call you Shania or people call you Eileen or Regina or...
Everyone in my personal life calls me Eileen or E.
I see.
You know, yeah. But of course I'm more, you know, better known as Shania, but... it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I just feel like the same person either way. You know, I never really feel different.
And you've got one boy.
I've got one son, yeah, and I've got a stepdaughter. My son is 21 now.
Oh, congratulations.
I love him to pieces.
What does he, is he into music?
Yes.
Do you want him to avoid it at all costs, or?
If I'm being really honest, I wish he had chosen something other than music, just because it's such a tough road. It's so unpredictable. But he loves it.
I know.
And I want him to do what he loves.
So he's doing it professionally?
Yeah, this is what he does. He's a producer, though. He's not...
Okay.
Well, he doesn't want to be a performing artist. And that's a relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely a back, you know, behind the scenes.
And does he live in Switzerland? Does he live in Switzerland?
Yes, he was born in Switzerland, raised there. But he now just recently... He left the nest quite early. He left the nest at 19, off to L.A., and just lives by himself and does music.
And it's going well for him.
I mean, he's not, making it yet. He's finding his way. He's finding his way and finding his, you know, getting to know his tools, his instrument, his studio. He's very technical. He's rewiring and wiring and all the things that I'm not really that interested in the studio. I just like to make music. Write songs.
You're pretty bloody good at it. I mean,
did you start writing your own material?
10 years old. I started writing.
Oh, when you were 10?
You were 10.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I love to write. It's what I love to do the most, really.
What are you doing, Jess?
Getting food out.
Are you hungry?
Anytime.
Okay.
Sometime I'd love to feed you our traditional Swiss family dish that we do often.
Which one? Tell us about it.
It's called
raclette.
Yes.
Oh, no, my auntie, my sister-in-law does it all the time.
You choose raclette over poutine?
Well, no, I wouldn't choose it over poutine.
Do you love poutine?
I love. Love, love, love. And sometimes what I do with the raclette is I'll make a mushroom gravy.
Ooh.
So we have a nice brown gravy, and I Canadianize our raclette, and people love
it. That's genius.
So they put the gravy over the raclette. Potato and the cheese, because that's all. I mean, poutine is just potato, you know, French fries and cheese that then the gravy melts.
What is the cheese? It's kind of a sponge. It's a squidgy cheese, isn't it? But what is it?
Because
it kind of keeps its. No, we're talking about poutine now, Mum.
Yeah,
you know poutine, Mum.
It's
poutine. Shania, you explain to my mum what poutine is.
It's a type. Okay, so the cheese is a type of cheddar curd.
Yeah, right.
They're curds, and they put the curds over hot French fries. And then hot gravy that then melts the cheese into the hot fries.
You can get it in McDonald's in Canada, can't you?
I think
you?
They've made it a fast food thing now. But this was a staple, you know, Canadian thing. It's sort of like Americans order pizza and we order poutine, you know. It's a real winter hearty home food that you can... We would often get them at the corner store.
Yeah, right. Okay, fine.
You know, like the way you guys go, you know, you guys get fish and chips at the pub.
Yeah.
Well, we would get poutine at the corner store.
Yeah.
You know.
You lost your parents when you were young, and you brought up your siblings whilst also trying to make a career in music. So you kind of put that on hold for a while, and you cared for your sibling. Or did you put it on hold? I mean, because you were having to look at... How many siblings do you have?
Well, there's five of us.
Yeah, right.
Three of the siblings moved in with me. I had an older sister who already had children of her own.
Shania, I've made aubergine parmigiana pie.
We heard you liked
because
aubergine parmigiana.
We heard you liked aubergine parmigiana.
That looks gorgeous. I'm going to love it.
And then this is just a baby gem, fig, walnut and feta salad.
This is
going
to be
right up my alley.
Great.
Love.
So tell us about that time when you had this complete tragedy, and then you were then looking after all your siblings.
Well, when my parents died, I decided that, it's obviously time to quit singing, because that is not where I'm at with singing. Is never going to feed the kids. It's never going to pay the bills. It's never going to cover the mortgage. What am I going to do? And none of my relatives were able to take both the boys, and they were only, you know, my brothers are 9 months apart, so couldn't, I didn't want them to be separated. The last thing they needed was to be separated. So the only way to keep them together was to keep them myself.
So how old were you?
I was 21.
Right.
So I really didn't know what to do. But a friend of mine said, listen, whatever you do, don't quit singing. There's a job that is nothing like anything you've ever done before. It's a kind of Vegas-style, Broadway-esque show in another town. And why don't you go audition? It pays very well.
Can I give you some salad? Would you like some?
A little bit of salad.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, that's plenty.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. Yeah. I'll give you one more fig and then you'll... So you had this kind of evening Vegas-esque show.
Yeah.
The photos are quite fabulous from that time. Like, you're in like a trio and then like also do it. I mean, you...
Because that's in the documentary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of
and, that. But then, so you'd be performing, so then you'd be kind of sorting out, feeding. I mean, what were you... What?
Typical day. Okay, so I would freeze. I would make food and freeze a lot of it ahead in advance.
Yeah.
I had to buy a house because the kids needed somewhere to live.
Uh-huh.
So I took out a mortgage. My income for that show was high enough that I could afford, that the bank gave me a mortgage. I couldn't believe it. No, thank you. So, you know, my first mortgage, and we can all stay together in this little house. So every morning, so I heat the house with a wood stove. And I'm chopping all the wood. I'm feeding the stove. I get up in the morning, you know, around 5:36, warm up the house, get the kids out of bed, pack their lunch, send them off on the bus. They go to school. Now, you know, time to clean the house, do the laundry, do all the da-da-da-da, make some food for dinner, put it in the freezer. Now I go off to rehearsals and then, you know, do the show. The show, I'm there till 1 in the morning every night. So I wasn't much of a parent to the kids a lot of the time.
So who helped?
My sister was younger, 2 years younger, but she also moved in with me. So she was home. She had a regular 9-to-5 job. So that
it
worked.
Sounds really stressful. And
it was. And then in the summers, I had the boys busing in the bar that I was singing in. So that helped. So they were close by.
Yeah. Have any of them gone into music?
No. My sister can sing very well, but it's not what she does and it's not what she wants to do.
I hear you're a good cook, like a great cook. In fact, I hear whenever your management come around for meetings, you cook them all a big meal.
I love to cook.
What would be your kind of showstopper to cook somebody?
Mm.
Or maybe we need to get your husband in on this and then he can tell you what's the best thing that you cook.
Everyone seems to love my gravies, brown gravies.
Is that the mushroom gravy?
Yeah, they're always
about?
Mushroom-based.
What, with like a puccini or...?
Well, I think the one that goes over best with raclette, for example, is Morel mushroom gravy. It's so dark and foresty, you know, Rich?
Mm.
But a portobello mushroom and button mixed is really good, too. That's one I normally do with a white wine. I'll do a white wine, butter, garlic, onion, and then the button and the shiitake mushrooms. But it's always seasonal, kind of.
Mm-hmm. So do you eat quite seasonally, and I guess that's
very,
quite easy.
Very
in,
much so, yes.
That's quite easy in Switzerland.
Oh, definitely. But then I love soups. You know, I make great soups. Everyone seems to love my soups.
Which
I make
soup?
Every kind of soup.
Which soup? Have you done recently?
Well, my son loves my lentil soup. That is his favorite soup, the lentil soup. And that one's really good. What makes that one really good is the nutritional yeast.
That's a really good...
In the roux.
Substitute, right, okay.
And you know, always white wine, onion, garlic, sauté, herbs, all of that. But definitely the trick to that one is making it really meaty is the nutritional yeast. But a really great soup in the winter when you just want something heavier in your soup is at whatever soup that you make, whether it's a curry soup, you know, a curry pumpkin, or whether it's a tomato mozzarella soup, is you take baby potatoes and you cook the baby potatoes in the soup. Then you've got the potatoes to then smash into your bowl.
The soup.
So you can eat it a little bit like a stew.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or you just take one potato and the soup is more of the sauce mashed into the potato.
That it's sounds delicious.
So yummy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You've been doing this for a fair good while now. Like you're a force of nature, and it's amazing to be with you today because I have such strong memories of being at school, and man, I feel like a woman coming on, and like and everyone doing the Let's Go Girls, which I know you know has become like a meme now, hasn't it? That mm-hmm. like I mean, the memes are amazing for the Let's Go Girls; they're amazing. But you must have had some incredibly memorable 90s dinners.
Well, I did have, I think one of my most memorable dinners was
it's delicious.
With Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, yeah. Who cooked? Or did you eat out?
We ate out.
Is she just as wonderful as we all think she is?
Oh, she is. I mean, she's such a smart lady. And, you know, it was just great to just sit and have real talks, you know. But as soon as we started talking about religion, it all went sour.
Why?
So let's stop talking about religion.
Fine. Is she religious?
She is quite religious, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you?
Not religious in the sense that I'm dedicated to a religion. You know, I'm much more of a spiritual person. I'm much more of an inner. I'm a seeker. I would say I'm a seeker.
But at least you knew to just stop it right there.
Right. So that was like, okay, yes, I've entered into. You know, everyone always says never talk about politics or religion.
Yeah, absolutely. Mum loves to talk about both, don't you, Mum?
Yeah.
And that was what, it just wasn't debatable. There was no room for debate. And I like to debate. Canadians like to debate about it. You know, debate everything. So I'm like, it's time to change subject.
We ask all of our guests what their last supper would be. Now, this isn't a morose question. This is, you're going off to a desert island, or you're about to go on tour to somewhere that isn't very kind to vegetarians, maybe. You're having the last supper, starter, main, dessert, and drink of choice. I feel like I can't say let's go with you now because it's just like your thing, isn't it?
Well, I would say that's a good question. I wouldn't go fancy. French fries are my favorite, like, love food.
Would poutine play a part in this last supper?
Yeah, I see. French fries? I mean, poutine, yeah.
Okay.
I'd go right for that.
Is that going to be a starter or is that the main event?
That would be the main course.
So what's the starter?
What I would start with? I would probably start with tomato mozzarella. I love a good tomato mozzarella with beautiful olive oil.
Simple.
Simple.
Yeah, okay. Drink of choice?
Champagne.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Poutine and champagne?
I love that. That could be like a poutine and champagne party.
I do love champagne, don't you?
Feels good for you, doesn't it?
Me too. It never makes you feel, always feel a bit happy when you've had it.
I know. It's light and it's like this light, happy thing.
Have you got a sweet tooth?
No, I don't.
So would you go for cheese after? I feel like you like cheese.
I do. The stinkier, the better.
Have you got an interesting cheese in your area of Switzerland that you kind of live for?
Well, we, you know, Switzerland makes really great dry, strong goat cheeses.
Yeah. Mm.
And so my favorite salad there is always a goat cheese salad, a hot, like a warm goat cheese salad. Mm. Salade de chèvre chaud, that's what we call it. And it's my favorite thing.
You should try a cheese here called Stinking Bishop. And it's the smelliest Fun cheese name. I've ever...
Is it a hard cheese or a soft cheese?
Slightly hard.
Okay. I mean, I love... there is a French cheese called Époisse.
And oh, that's I love it. Époisse. Oh, my God.
See, there you go.
It's so good.
It's just,
so
and gorgeous. It's got to be warm and runny. Well,
and
not warm,
warm
like
and a... runny, and it smells. And right. Yeah. And so it looks great. Like it's going to walk out the door because
unanimous.
It moves on its own, yeah.
Oh, I love
it. What was Vegas like for you doing that stint there? Did you enjoy it?
Mm-hmm.
It's very different to, you know,
gosh,
Lake Geneva.
Manage with the food? It's all fried stuff.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm. Is it really good there?
Where? Vegas has fabulous food. You can get anything. So if you can eat as much fried food as you want, or you can eat as much gourmet food as you want. Beautiful. They really have it all covered.
Where were you performing?
My last residency was at Planet Hollywood.
Was it fun?
It was fun.
Was it as fun as you imagine a Vegas stint to be?
Absolutely. I really love it there.
I mean, you
I like
a white horse
there.
On stage,
yes.
Didn't you? And you rode
and
in
a
on
a
motorbike.
Uh-huh.
And this horse was doing tricks.
Did dreams the horse, come true.
Did the horse ever not do the kneeling thing?
No, but sometime, I mean, one time, this horse took... had the biggest poo
on stage.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I'm talking a giant, steamy, huge pile of poo. So I'm thinking, this is a very formal room, you know, velvet, plush velvet seating and very formal theater, okay. Right? The horse shits on stage.
Yeah.
So all I could say was, shit happens.
Ah, that's great.
I just thought, okay, now can we be done with that? Other than the odor, let's just move on with the song.
What song was it with? And was it like you're still
it was a
the
ballad.
One
yes.
Oh, no, stop.
that's why I had to like, okay, I have to like end. I have to do, I needed a page turning moment here so that, anyway.
But how could you prevent that? Do they take the horse for to go to the loo
well,
before?
No, when you got to go, you got to go. And the horse doesn't give a shit that you're pooing
his shit.
Okay, so I'm about to support Harry Styles on tour. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm doing the Chicago stint, which is enough for me. I mean, it gets me, you know, 6 nights closer to Harry. So you duetted with him at Coachella.
Yes.
How good does he smell?
He smells so good.
I bet.
He's so huggable.
Oh, and some. Did you have a lovely time?
I do. He's such
he's a, gent.
A nice person.
Yes, he is.
He's just a really genuine, nice person. And I think that's really, I mean, obviously he's very talented.
Yes.
But people love him. He's likable.
Mm.
And he earns that likability.
Which song did you sing with him?
Well, I wanted to do his songs, but he wanted to do my songs. And I figured, okay, well, you're inviting me, so I'll do whatever songs you want me to do. So we did Man, I Feel Like a Woman and You're Still the One.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. But it was a beautiful moment. It really was. I enjoyed it a lot. It was very genuine. And
was it this Coachella?
Was just this past one, yeah. And, you know, that was the third. So that was the... They had missed 2 years of no Coachella.
Mm.
And that was a big cultural blow to the concert goers that come from all over the world to go to that.
It's a challenge, Coachella, though, isn't it?
I mean, it's dusty, crowded.
The sun gets where you don't even know sun could go.
Yeah, it's a tough one, element-wise, for sure.
You talked about in the documentary getting Lyme's disease, and I wondered whether you had to change your diet with that. I mean, it sounded horrendous how it's affected you, but how many years have you had Lyme's disease now?
Well, I got Lyme's disease, it would have been 22 or 23 years
How
ago.
How did you get it? Swimming in
horse
the
riding.
Oh,
I was horse riding, and you know, when you're...
So a tick bit you
a
or
tick
something.
Yeah. Got on me and bit me, and I found the tick, thank God. That's how I even knew that, you know, I mean, it fell off.
Yeah, oh right, okay.
Onto the floor, and I'm thinking, And then it had fallen off my back. I'd scratched it off my back. And you know, you can get the tick tested, and it was positive. So, and I got quite sick, like everyone would and does. I was practically falling off stage. I just was losing my whole equilibrium.
Oh, that's horrible.
And it can affect many different, it really does attack primarily organs and things like that, but it can also attack them, you know, it can be a real neurological issue as well. So they tested everything, because I'm on tour, you know, for the insurance, you know, they test the heart and all, the brain, everything like that, everything checks out okay, but nobody thought of the nerve damage to the vocal cords that had taken place. So I lost my voice, and I had no idea why. Nobody connected it to the Lyme's disease. And so it was another neurologist many years later. I didn't sing for 7 years. Mm. that discovered that it was...
That's terrible.
Yeah, these two nerves were partially both atrophied.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you need so perfect... you need symmetry for any kind of... controlled phonation. And
has your voice changed?
Yes, it has changed.
So how's it changed?
I just had to embrace it. Like you can hear the gravel. I have a lot more gravel. My chest voice is in a different place now than it was before. My falsettos are very, very, I can almost not do a quiet falsetto.
Oh, because you need to make them
I need
kind
the
of
pressure.
Vibrate. Yeah.
So my falsetto, I have a falsetto, but it's a powerful one. So I gained a lot of power.
Yeah.
I gained a lot of output and projection, but I lost control of certain areas in my voice. But I just sing the songs differently now. I've learned to, and I write songs differently for my new voice too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I can get way up there. I didn't lose any range, which is interesting. I think I even gained bottom range, but it was a journey.
Because I mean, and there's that beautiful moment in the documentary with you and Lionel Richie, and he kind of was like your champion, wasn't he? And he was like, mm-hmm. Come on, we're going to do this. And you were nervous about getting back in the studio. And he just was like, nope, we're going to do it, and you're going to do it. And it sounded amazing.
And this was before the operation.
Oh.
So now I was in order to sing before I got operated, because before the operation, the surgeon was saying, listen, I know that it takes a lot of patience, but I want you to take a year and just try therapy before we do any cutting. I'm like, okay. And to put pressure on myself, this is when I decided that I would do the first residency at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. I gave myself a target date. So I go into therapy, I give myself this year, and I was able to get up there and do this live 90-minute show in Las Vegas. I was very proud of myself. But the effort, I needed an hour and a half to warm up.
Wow.
Literally had to do like gymnastic kind of aerobic exercises to get the larynx to drop and sit and to get the musculature supporting the whole apparatus. And then I had to do an hour and a half show. I was exhausted. I couldn't sustain that. So I was able to sustain it for a while. You know, I was able to do a tour after that. But then I'm like, guys, this will be the end of me physically. I can't sustain it. I don't have the physical capacity to basically do a physical workout cardio for 3-4 hours every show day, when you include the warm up and the show. So I go back to the surgeon and said, this is the only way I can do it, and it's not manageable. So I think I've got to try the operation.
And it did help.
And it did help. Yeah. So I've got two Gore-Tex crutches implants on either side of my larynx.
Wow.
That stabilize the musculature and allow the vocal folds.
Is that quite unusual for a singer at your level to have that kind of opera? Because I don't, you know, we know about Adele and Sam Smith and people losing their voices and going to this amazing voice doctor. And I don't know if it's the same one that you went to, but you know, and having procedures on their voice. But having that kind of procedure, I mean, it shows what kind of focus and ambition and hard work you probably had to do to.
Those are very different procedures.
Right.
So the very typical, which I'm sure you know very well as a singer, the very typical and classic injury to the voice is to the vocal cords, thickening of the cords or
polyps
or getting nodules.
Yeah.
Polyps.
Yeah.
Or just sheer thickening. Like they just get really rigid.
Why do they get thick?
Inflamed? Or?
It's almost like getting, they get calloused.
Mm. Oh.
And so they have to shave them down and they have to get them flexible again, which takes a lot of therapy and da-da-da-da-da.
So yours is a very different kind of, operation.
I have zero damage to my vocal cords. This is the irony and almost the sad part of it. I've never abused my voice. Yeah. I've always had very clean and functional vocal cords. But each vocal cord has one nerve that connects it to the larynx. If you have any atrophy there at all, any asymmetry, it's like if you try whistling with a straw in your lips, that's exactly the effect. That's exactly what was happening to my voice.
The air was
just escaping. So I might have like an attack on the note.
Yeah.
Or like a guttural sound, but then it would just air. So, I mean, I could barely speak. So what they do is it's an open throat surgery, and they literally cut your Adam's apple through. They have to cut through all the layers, and they hold it open.
Through your neck. Oh my God. Was it keyhole?
No. They have to put, you know when you go to the dentist?
Yeah.
And they have to put that
rubber dam thing.
Yeah. That whole big metal brace in your mouth.
That was basically your neck.
With the rubber thing. That's exactly what they do. They open it up and they insert a thing that keeps everything open. And then they go in there through everything to get to the larynx. And then they insert the Gore-Tex supports. But they have to position them exactly right to compensate for where the weaknesses are.
I bet he was frightened to death.
And you have to be awake.
Shania Twain's cutting her throat.
But you have to be awake during it. You have to be awake so that you can sing and speak.
You were awake during the operation?
Yeah, because they asked you.
That must have been terrifying.
It was, but it was my only option. I just couldn't sing.
And it worked.
And it worked for now. It may not hold. It could not. It might give.
And it's not making your voice more damage with it.
No. So
that's amazing.
No, I know. I'm so lucky. Honest to God, I
think you are lucky, actually.
I'm so lucky.
There's so much that could have gone wrong.
Well, that's amazing. And you sound wonderful.
You sound wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Have you finished?
I am. Right. Delicious.
It was my cock-up. Yeah. Basically, my mum has made a panna cotta.
Do you eat panna cotta? Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
Love panna cotta.
Great, fine. Okay, phew. Great.
Phew.
I just wondered whether vegetarians eat it or not, so that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Great. No. Amazing. Oh, yes. Look at that wobble on that. Oh, Mum, the wobble is beautiful on that. We've got a few more questions for you. Do you think you've got good table manners, Shania Twain?
Not today.
Why? But have you done today?
I do. No, I do. I can be very, very formal at a dinner table. I know how to be formal.
Do you think
at
that's that? Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's not that fun, is it?
But I do think it matters because really? I think while in Rome, I believe in that.
Okay.
Like I believe in to each his own, but when you join someone else's own, then I think you need to be integrated into that. So I've always thought that was important to be able to do it.
And what's your worst thing in somebody else, what they do, and you're just like, you know what? Get out of my house or get out of the restaurant. I don't like what you're doing.
Phones at the table.
Okay.
No way. Our kids are not allowed.
Don't. Well, I've got any three young kids
access.
And they're all going to be buggered because I'm, what?
Jessie is right, obsessed with her phone.
No, my kids are not allowed. They're not allowed to have a phone at the table since day one, ever.
That is delicious, Mum. That is very good.
And no chewing with your mouth open.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Am I like?
No, I agree.
Am I crossing a boundary?
No, I agree.
I can't handle that. And my mother was the worst.
Like chewing.
She had two sets of false teeth. My poor mother. My mother had a terrible life. But anyway, she had two sets of false teeth. And she chewed like a cow. She just couldn't chew with her lips closed. And it drove me crazy. Anyway, but kids are just not kind, are they?
No.
I'd be like, Mom.
Mine isn't.
What? Me? What are you talking about? I'm being really well behaved today. I've only told you to shush once. This is bloody ruddy good panna cotta, Mum.
It is good one.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
And the sour cherries. Did you bring them back?
Yeah.
It's good, huh? It's
very good texture, I think. Do you like karaoke? Or are you like Jessie because you're a singer? You think it's a bit Coles to Newcastle? Do you know that expression?
It's for everybody else.
Yes, yeah. I do. I'm the last person to get up and do karaoke. Okay. Because I love watching other people. I just get so much joy out of watching other people do karaoke. I'm the one that's helping them through the lyrics or whatever, but I'm not a karaoke person. I think I do bad karaoke.
But if we made you do karaoke.
Oh, if you made me.
Yeah, which song would you choose?
I would probably choose... Long and winding road leads me back to your door. That's my favorite one.
Oh, well
we had
done.
Sir Paul on.
Did
this.
You?
Yeah. Mum and I had a big fight in that.
It would probably be, it would be a Paul McCartney song. I mean, the melodies and
he's very
the
clever.
Musicianship yeah. and the arrangements are just so brilliant.
Gorgeous.
Shania Twain, thank you for being on the series, what's it, what do you call it?
Opener.
You are amazing. You are inspiring. You are fantastic. And thank you very much. And congratulations with the new single.
Well, thank you. And I want to say thank you for the beautiful food.
Pleasure.
So good.
I just can't look at you. You're so gorgeous.
I know. Absolutely beautiful. Go girls.
She is fantastic.
She's wonderful.
She gave us everything. She gave us a vocal solo. Yeah. She ate your food.
Yeah.
She was lovely.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Really
couldn't
gorgeous.
Really not look at her. She's
but
so
I kind
stunning.
Of was dazzled by her kind of amazingly star. I was starstruck.
I know that my son is going to go home. I'm going to take that aubergine palm pie home and he's going to wolf it down. So thank you.
Do you think?
Oh my God.
It was delicious, wasn't it?
I really liked it. And the panna cotta, honestly,
the wobble
on that.
I'm now a confident panna cotta maker, I think.
If you want to see Lenny's panna cotta in all its glory with sour cherries, you can go on our Instagram. It's Table Manners Podcast. And you can see all the content from each week's guest and the food that we're feeding them.
Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.